So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see now.
At your feet. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for traveling mercies. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you above all for the gift of Jesus Christ. We can never thank you enough. We are indebted, and we use our whole lives to pay back. And even that is not enough. Thank you. Even as we begin this week, we ask that your Holy Spirit will hover around us, and you will go ahead of us and teach, train, mentor, build, strengthen, encourage, fire us up, so that when we leave this place, we can take hold of our mountains and climb them easily because of the energy that you have given us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. This evening begins our journey in building unshakable, immovable, impregnable, irresistible, limitless faith, persuasion, conviction in Jesus Christ, so that we can climb every single mountain we meet in life until He calls us home. So our theme for the week is "Give me this mountain." Tell your friend, "Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." Hallelujah. Well, from tomorrow morning, we shall be looking at five of the strongest rocks in Christianity on which to build unshakable faith. The first one is Jesus Christ. The second one is the Bible. The third one is the Holy Spirit. And the fourth one is the promises of God. And the very last one will be the kingdom of God. Faith must be built. Faith means trust, persuasion, conviction. And faith in God means you are persuaded beyond doubt. You are moved to conviction about how certain and sure something is that nothing else can shake you. My desire for you this week is that after we have looked at these five stones for building Christian faith, not only will you never be the same, but there will be no mountain on this earth you can't climb. And that you will have a rock solid persuasion and conviction for which you are ready to die. And until you die, nothing can shake you again. This means we need to examine the scriptures, because every one of our friends wants to prove to us that you are a fool for being a Christian. You are wasting your time when you go to church. You are stupid for being holy and keeping yourself clean. You know, the world around us wants to convince us that we are not thinking properly when we say we believe the Christian truths that we believe. And this week, we need to look at the stones which convince us beyond doubt that we have found truth, and that that truth sets a man or a woman free forever. The Bible says faith is important for at least 20 reasons. Number one, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists, and that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In chapter 10, verses 37 and 38 of the same Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews convinces us that when we believe in God, his soul is not pleased with anyone who draws back.
Hebrews 10, 37 and 38.
Yes.
For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him.
So God has no pleasure in unbelief. We shall have time to look at that. But that's the first reason why faith is important in the Christian life. Number two, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Jesus is the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith.
Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
The person who saved us, Jesus, deals in faith. He is the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of faith. Number three, we are saved by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 He says,
just 2:8-9.
Okay.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
It is by grace you have been saved through faith.
And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast.
We are saved by faith. We are not only saved by faith, we are justified, made just before God by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We have been made just through faith. Number five. We have been made holy or sanctified through faith. Acts 26 verse 18.
Acts 26, 18 at this point. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
We are sanctified or made holy by faith. Our hearts are made pure by faith. Acts chapter 15 verse 9.
Acts 15, 9. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith.
Our hearts are made pure by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight.
2 Corinthians 5, 7. We live by faith, not by sight.
Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. He says, I have been crucified by Christ, with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
We get things from God in prayer by faith. James chapter 1 verse 5-8 says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives freely to everyone, and he does not rebuke us, but let him ask in faith.
If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord.
That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord.
He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus told his disciples, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move and it will obey you.
Matthew 21:21. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done by the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done.
I don't know where we have got to now. It must be about number 10. That in with our faith, we conquer the world. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5.
1 John 5, 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world.
Everyone born of God overcomes the world.
This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
The victory which overcomes the world is our faith.
Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
The victory which overcomes the world is our faith. Number 11, we overcome Satan with our faith. All resistance to Satan is because we have faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same amount of suffering is required of the brotherhood all over the world.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
And the Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 all the way to 18, he lists the armor with which to overcome and fight against Satan. And verses 16 and 17, he tells us that we should take the shield of faith with which you can overcome all the fiery darts of the devil, and take the sword of the spirit with which you whip Satan.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Which fiery darts of the devil does faith, the shield of faith, quench? All. And that brings me to number 13. When Satan is tempting you, he is only searching for your faith. Because if he can destroy your faith, he has got you. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Jesus told Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift all 12 of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren.
Luke 22:31-32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, but he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Number 14. Anything you do in God's house and you are not doing it in faith, it is a sin for you. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin.
Whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, many things cannot go to heaven. But the Bible records that faith, hope, and love, they endure beyond the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, we are reading at verse 13, which says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Even though the greatest of these is love, faith is one of the three key Christian virtues which go beyond the grave. The faith abides, hope abides, and love abides beyond the grave. In fact, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus calls it one of the weightier matters of the law.
Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone.
Now, number 15, It takes faith and persuasion to commit and obey God. Shall I take that again?
Yes.
I'm saying you need to believe God before you obey Him and commit yourself to Him. A lot of people and pastors, myself included, we are amazed at how nominal and uncommitted the average church member is. It's because of the faith level. It takes persuasion. It takes faith to commit yourself, to obey God, and to commit your money, your time, your treasure to God. Because if you are not persuaded, you don't want to give yourself to God. Is it making sense? Yeah. If, you know, as I'm preaching now, I want to give my purse to somebody, the natural person will be my wife because I trust her. If I've never met you before, I can't give you my purse because I don't trust you. So it takes faith in God to obey Him. It takes faith in God to commit yourself, your time, your money, your energy, your treasure, to commit to God. The more faith you have, the more you commit, because you believe. Number 16. It takes a persuaded person to persuade other people. It takes a convinced person to convince other people. It takes somebody who believes to make other people believe. If you are not persuaded, it's difficult to persuade other people. Many people cannot talk in the office. They cannot convince their friends and relatives and family members to follow them to church because you are not convinced yourself. If you are convinced, you convince them. If you are persuaded, you persuade them. You remember the first miracle Jesus did? He went to the feast not as somebody who was going to supply wine for them. That's not why he went. He was invited, and his mother too was there. The people at the feast did not know Jesus. Nobody came to him to say, "Oh, Master, our wine is finished." Because they didn't know him. But when Jesus' mother heard that their wine was finished, she came to Jesus in John chapter 2 from verse 5 and said, "Their wine is finished." And Jesus said, What is that to us, woman? Well, my time is not yet come. Don't push me into anything. Then Mary, because she believed in Jesus, she told the servants, "Whatever this guy tells you, do it. Whatever he tells you, do it. Because I know the guy." And so Jesus told them, "Fetch water and fill these water pots." And giddy, 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 they fetch water and filled. Then he said, "Okay, fetch what you have fetched. Fetch some and send it to the MC to start sharing." And when the MC drank, the water turned into wine. He said, "What? You these are frozen, you are bad. Everybody serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk and are okay, then the, you know, rock popo wine, they bring that one. And you brought the rock popo first. And now behold." Because he did not know where the wine came from. You see, it is somebody you are convinced about that you recommend to other people. "Hey, this doctor, you go and see. I was there myself. Eh, that school, go and see. I was there. It takes a convinced man to convince others. Many of us cannot we don't talk at work or school. The reason is, if you open your mouth, you say, are you also a Christian? You Christians, and you have nothing to say. Therefore, the better thing is not to talk. You don't tell them anything. You are just there and praying that nobody should discover you are a Christian. Because they discover, say, you are also full. You also finish. I remember the guy who was sitting beside me in the classroom when we were in secondary school, Form 3. The scripture union took one Saturday and said they were going to entertain the school. And this guy was among the scripture union people. And they came. I am so happy. Tell me why you are happy. They didn't close before I got to the classroom. I drew him on the board. Immediately he entered the room. I am so happy. Tell me why you are happy. The whole class, everybody started laughing. You know, this is the reason why you don't want anyone to know you are a Christian at work. But in church, you are in the choir, you worship, you shout loud, hallelujah! You can't do that at work because you have nothing to say. You are not persuaded. You cannot persuade other people. The church is quiet because we are not sure about the truths of the scripture. On the other hand, if you are persuaded about something, you can't wait for your friends to see you. You know, you are like, when will they come? Or you take your phone, say, hello. Oh, missed call. You are waiting for coffee. So that when you get in, yes, I wanted to tell you something. Do you know? I've just come, I've visited the botanical gardens. And I've never seen a tree so big. I was there myself when I saw it. Because you are now convinced. A lot of church members are only in church because they come from a Christian home. And therefore, they do not really believe what they are saying. They are just in the church as baggage. And they see that when you come to church, you are well dressed, your funeral is nice, and actually you can get a Christian girl to marry and walk her to the altar. And there are a lot of privileges. You meet some businessmen in church and say, you are in the same church. They give you contract. And so because of that, they are not really convinced, passionate Christians. There's no fire because they don't believe anything really. This week, we are going to remove all that straw from your heart. It takes a persuaded man or woman to persuade other people. Amen. The point about faith is that when you do not believe Jesus, when you don't believe the Bible, when you don't believe the Holy Spirit, when you don't believe the promises of God, you cheat yourself. That's the point. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says Jesus went to his hometown. And in verse 5 and verse 6, the scripture says Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown. And he was surprised. He marveled at their unbelief.
Mark chapter 6 verses 5 and 6. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief.
Can you see what is happening? This is the Jesus who raised Lazarus, 4 days dead, buried. He called him, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. No blood transfusion. No, the hospital did not detain him. He just walked out of the grave and he said, loosen him. And then he walked to his house. No oxygen, no blood transfusion, no water, infusion, nothing. But he went to his hometown. His own cousins, nieces, nephews, his uncles and aunties, they were sick. But he could do no mighty work there. And Jesus was marveled. He was surprised at their unbelief. That's Mark 6, 5 and 6 for you. Look at the same Mark 6 from verse 53 to 56. He crossed over. He crossed over the lake. Yes.
Mark 6, 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him.
When he came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Yes.
Ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was.
They ran through the whole region, and anybody who was sick, they carried the people. What did they say? They ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick. You see, these are bedridden people. You only carry a sick person on bed if he cannot get up and walk. And they carry the people because they believe Jesus. Yes.
Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces.
They laid the sick where?
The marketplaces.
Marketplaces. They put the sick, they carried whole beds with sick people and put them in marketplaces.
And begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment.
They begged Jesus, you don't worry to lay hands on us. It will take time. Let us touch the hem of your garment.
And as many as touched him were made well.
As many in villages, towns, countryside, marketplaces, on beds and couches. As many as touched him. Jesus was walking. He wasn't laying hands on them. He was just walking. And as many as touched him, they were made whole. As many as touched him, they were made whole. As many as touched him, they were made whole. As many as touched him in beds, on my marketplaces, cities, towns around, the same Jesus. He was in his hometown. They couldn't be healed. That same Jesus crossed over. And people said, don't lay hands. Let's touch. Let's touch. Two of you can come to this retreat. One person will leave. You will never be the same again. Another person can leave the way he or she came. They have all come to meet Jesus. But the difference is clear. Faith makes a difference. There are many things you can never accomplish in this life if you do not have faith. And this brings me to my number 17. There are some things on this earth God wants to do. And he is searching for men and women of faith so that he can use them to accomplish it. God wants to do some big things on this earth. For example, God wanted to divide the Red Sea. But he needed a Moses who would believe him. So he told Moses, don't be afraid. Stand still. Exodus 14, 14. Yes. Tell the people, stand still. Then raise your rod. Yes, raise the rod. Raise the rod. And Moses raised his rod. And all that night, an east wind swept over the Red Sea. Broke the Red Sea into two. Their left and their right. And he said, tell Israel, move. And Moses told Israel, move. And they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. 600,000 soldiers. Yeah. They marched on dry ground. Yeah. Their wives, their children, old people, above 60. Yeah. Walking. Everybody. Then the cattle, their goats, and all the, Zomi. Everything they took from Egypt. 600,000 foot soldiers. They crossed on dry land. And then God wanted to close the Red Sea on Egyptians. So he said, Moses, raise your rod again. Moses lifted his rod. And God swept the Red Sea onto Israel. There are things on this earth God wants to do. He needs a man. He needs a woman who can believe God. Ghana can change. If there will be somebody who can believe God, you can enter the legal system of Ghana and become the Chief Justice of Ghana and change the legal system. Yeah. It takes faith to become vice chairman, vice chancellor for the university. It takes faith. Because without certain things happen, you see and you are frightened. And even if you are a Christian, you withdraw. Because I can't. But God is looking for men, women. You go to Japan and say, oh, CDM, don't worry about Japan. Just pray. I have got to Japan. Within 5 years, Japan will begin to shake because you are there. You have faith. That's all. I read a moving testimony of a certain man of God who was sent to some villages in Russia. And it was snowing. And he didn't know the place. So he asked a young Christian boy, please, can you show me the villages around here? And the boy led him. Every village he got to, he knelt down and prayed for that village. Then he said, is there any other village? And then they went and he knelt and prayed. And the boy testified that there was yet one village, but he was feeling too lazy to tell the man of God that there was a village there. 20 years afterwards, he saw that in all the 5 different towns the man knelt down, there were big Christian churches. The one where he didn't go to kneel, there was no church. You see, because God is looking for a man, a woman, just one person. And what God has always wanted to do, he will do it because he has found you. That's my 17th reason. No, my 18th reason is that there are certain things you want to accomplish in life. And without faith, you can never accomplish it. You can never. It takes faith to climb up and accomplish certain things in life. Yeah. I read the doctoral thesis of a certain American. And he said he went to the Bible college and he interviewed all the pastors in training. And he listed the first 20. After 5 years, he went to their churches. And he was surprised that the first 20 who had most faith in the Bible college, their churches were the biggest and the strongest. Because your faith determines what you become in this life. Many times Jesus said it, according to your faith, be it unto you. He's not cursing you. He's just telling you the truth. You are like your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. You want us to read some of it? No, it's time. Okay. And then my reason number 19, is it? Is it 19 or 18? 19. There are certain people in God's house who are believing God for something. They need somebody who has faith to spark what they believe for it to happen. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus said, if two or three of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on it concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Whenever you believe God for something, you need a second person who can believe God for that thing with you. And you are okay. Faith is important because there are people in the church who have faith. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 8 to 10. You can read only verse 9 and 10. But the Bible says in Lystra, there was a man who from his birth, he had never walked. And as he listened to Paul preach, Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Yes.
Acts 14:9-10.
Yes.
This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet.
What did Paul see? What did Paul see?
That he had faith to be
he
healed.
He saw that he had faith to be healed. So he told him, stand upright on your feet. And what happened?
And he leaped and walked.
Correct. There are people in the house of God who are believing God for some miracle. They need somebody who has faith so that their faith together can work. Are you with me? Do you remember Mark chapter 2? The man, the paralytic, four friends carried him and said they were bringing him to Jesus. And when they got to the house, no room. Nobody could enter the house because the way people crowd. So they sat down and said, look, we know if we get this man to Jesus, he will be healed. We can't carry him home. So they went up the roof, somebody's house. They went up the roof and tore it and lowered the man. Let's read the Mark 2, verse 4 and 5.
Mark 2, 4 to 5. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was.
They gauged where Jesus' head was and he was preaching. And they uncovered the roof there.
So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying.
Yes.
When Jesus saw their faith.
When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith.
He said to the paralytic,
every time Jesus is in church, looking at faith. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith.
Son, Your sins are forgiven you.
Ah, wow. Wow. You see, there are people of faith. Samuel's mother, Hannah, she went to the chapel to pour her soul to the Lord. And Eli says, stop, you drunkard, no, stop that. He said, I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a drunkard. I'm a woman in distress. And I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. And Eli said, okay, God bless you, so that the thing you have asked him, he will give you. And when she went back, she took seed. And she gave birth to Samuel. And she brought Samuel to Eli. And put Eli, Samuel before Eli. And said, this is the boy I asked from God. I have brought him before God all the days of his life in answer to the prayer. Yeah. There are people in church who are believing God for some miracle. And they need somebody whose faith will just touch theirs and spark. And they will get what they are searching for from God. And my final point this evening about faith and its importance is that unbelief gets under God's skin. Whenever you don't believe God, it pains him. For the rest of this week, we are going to spark that big machine of faith. And when you live here, you will smile at your mountains. And you will tell God, give me this mountain. Shall we be on our feet?
Oh, I can see the love in your...
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.